So someone says to you, but if two men or two women love each other, shouldn't they have the right to be married? And don't you believe in marriage equality for all? And isn't that the Jesus way? Do you have an answer for them? We'll equip you today, live from Italy.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what's amazing? Wherever you turn, wherever you go, Europe, Asia, teaching Chinese pastors in Hong Kong and all over America, these issues about redefining marriage, making it genderless, males marrying males, equality, liberty, freedom, isn't this the Jesus? You cannot get away from these questions. The problem is, for the most part, God's people don't know how to respond and give solid answers as to why we do not want to tamper with the foundations of human society, why we do not want to redefine marriage. And we're going to help you. We're going to equip you. We're going to give you some real food for thought and some real substance for interaction here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed and delighted to be with you, coming your way live from Naples, Italy. Oh, let me give you our number first, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And before I tell you what's happened here in Italy, let me give you an invitation to call in if you believe it's fine, good, right for two men to marry or two women to marry. You think maybe as a Christian we should espouse that and embrace that, or you have no moral objection to it, or you say, hey, in my state, it's already passed, so we just accept it as the law. If you agree with it, I'd love to hear from you. If you disagree, but you don't have solid answers from the Bible or outside of the Bible for people who challenge you, for people who ask you, then call in with your questions, 866-34-TRUTH. Or if you feel you've got some solid ammunition to help people who wonder about this issue, then by all means call. But look, this is nothing that we can avoid. The Supreme Court last week took up two major cases, one dealing with Prop 8, the upholding of marriage as the male of union of a man and woman in California. Is it constitutional or not? And then they took up DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Is that constitutional or and, you know, constitution's part of the question in these. Is the court going to uphold these? Already Time magazine, which disqualified itself some time ago as being taken seriously as an unbiased reporter of the news, Time is declaring how gay marriage won, and others is 2013, the year of gay, and so on. And, of course, those that are in favor of making marriage genderless, they're going to declare it's over, throw in the towel, just accept it. All the young people believe in this and so on and so forth. You're dinosaurs if you don't agree with it. Well, let society go the way it goes. Let human opinion go the way it goes. That does not change truth. That does not change what's right, what's wrong. But I want to equip you. I want to help you so that we can have reasonable, solid, biblically based, wise, and true answers for those who claim to support marriage equality. But here in Italy, boy, it's my 21st trip. I've been coming here since 1987. And now we're getting to see people whose parents were deeply touched by the ministry years ago. Now the kids are grown and they're deeply touched. And we had a National Revolution Conference, Jesus Revolution, about 1,000 plus, well over 1,000 total attendance. Massive altar calls, people responding with tears to give their lives afresh to the gospel, to serve him at any cost, to make a difference in this generation. The presence of God so rich, and you live for moments like this. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for praying and supporting and helping me go. Much more to come. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to this broadcast live from Naples, Italy. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Taking your calls, 866-348-7884. We're talking about marriage, the meaning of marriage, whether marriage should be redefined. Does it matter if it's genderless? If two people love each other, shouldn't they have the right to be married? After all, don't we believe in marriage equality? Doesn't Jesus care about everyone? Isn't it true that love does no harm to its neighbors? So how could we harm people by telling them if they love each other, they shouldn't be married? Aren't we being discriminatory? This is what we hear day and night. And if we simply say, well, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as true as that is, that does not adequately answer the questions, the problems. We're going to do our best to equip you. It's part of what we do here on The Line of Fire. Not just talk about the controversial issues, but give you ways to think them through and give you solid answers from the Word. 866-348-7884. So again, we are told consistently that the young generation has already set the tone. 75-80% of young people, whatever stats we hear, favor redefining marriage. A large reason, well, I know someone that's gay and therefore, you know, nice person, loves other people, should they have the right to be married? I don't want to just be discriminatory. A lot of young Christians and older Christians don't have an answer for this. And again, Time magazine has declared gay marriage already won. When I see that, I think all the more. And it has two covers to the magazine now, with two women kissing, two men kissing. All the more when I look at that, do I realize what a lost cause it is to think that anyone is ultimately going to redefine marriage, the more they proclaim it and speak it. But I want to play some clips for you. Catherine Tim from Campus Reform, gay activist, was interviewing some college students outside the Supreme Court during the first day of hearings on California's Prop 8. So this was slightly under a week ago. And of course, the majority she spoke with said, oh yeah, we should redefine marriage. It's fine. Everyone gets the same chance. Let's listen to clip number one.
Why do you think people oppose it?
I honestly can't find a reason.
Why do you think people oppose gay marriage? Or?
I don't think I can answer that. I just think it's really important that everyone gets the same chance at marriage and the same chance at equality. I really don't even understand why this is still, you know, a fight that's going on.
Do you know of anybody personally who actually does oppose it?
I don't think I could reconcile friendship with a person who doesn't believe in equality for all people.
Yep, equality for all people. Now, that's the first thing we can address. Is you don't believe in quote marriage equality for all people, do you? You those that are supporting redefining marriage and making it genderless and saying you should have same sex so-called marriage. And the reason I keep putting in so-called is so that we don't forget that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, not just two people. All right? But those who say I believe in marriage equality for all, do you really? Do you really? I'm looking at a website that is called Full Marriage Equality, marriage-equality.blogspot, and it goes on. And it's got Martin Luther King pictured on it and so on. It advocates marriage equality for all. You know what that means? Advocating for the right of consenting adults to share and enjoy love, sex, residence, and marriage without limits on the gender, number, or relation of participants. Full marriage equality is a basic human right. If you say you believe in marriage equality, then what about polygamy? And what about polyamory? And again, polyamory, for those still not familiar with the term, is just consensual loving relationships. It could be three women and two men, or two women and two men. They all live together. They raise their kids together and so on and so forth. And they now they want rights. They want recognition. And a father, grown father and daughter, or as a case in England, a grown grandmother and grandson, or two brothers or two sisters. Well, marriage equality for all, why not? You see, people don't even believe those words. Now, there's some who believe them, like this website. But most people don't believe that. You have the right to marry the one you love. You believe that? I asked two very kindly gay men that, quote, got married in D.C. They live in North Carolina. We had dinner together last year with a colleague joined me, and we had dinner. And they said, look, what we're doing doesn't hurt anyone. What we're doing doesn't harm anyone. And, you know, when you commit adultery, you hurt someone. When you steal, you hurt someone. When you lie, you hurt someone. But we love each other. We're committed to each other. We're not hurting anyone. So I said, let me just ask you a question. I said, I'm not comparing your relationship to an incestuous one. I just want to ask you a question. What about two brothers, two grown brothers who want to marry? They go, ew, that's wrong. I said, okay, why is it wrong? They said, that's just wrong. I'm telling you, that's just wrong. They both claim to be Christians, too. They said, that's just wrong. They said, that's icky. I said, look, I don't want to insult you. I said, but what you do to men, that's icky to me. So just to say it's icky, they had no legitimate reason that they could oppose that. One of them said, look, but you're talking about something so tiny. We're talking about millions of gay people. I said, well, isn't that your whole argument, that you're discriminating against a minority? I said, homosexuals that want to be married compared to heterosexuals, that's a tiny, 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 tiny minority. So if that's your argument, then what about this smaller group, those advocating for incestuous relationships, or what's so wrong about this and that? And of course, he had no answer. So those who say, I believe in marriage equality for all, the vast majority don't really. Those who say I should have the right to marry the one I love simply mean we want to redefine marriage for two men or two women. And a simple question that I ask, I asked this of Professor Eric Small when I debated him about same-sex marriage at the University of Central Florida last year. I don't know if you remember that, but the university almost shut it down. There were about five university vice presidents at a university of 60,000 students that got involved in the discussion as to whether the debate should go on, same-sex marriage, should it be legal. And that's what a local college professor picked when I said, he said he would debate me. I said, you pick the subject, you know, relative to homosexual issues. Florida already passed an amendment saying that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. It's a fair thing to be debating. So controversial, gay activists tried to shut it down. Some vice presidents tried to shut it down. Others, you know, the diversity department tried to shut it down. They finally let us have it only with four armed policemen present. That's how volatile the situation is. And you can watch the debate. We'll put a link on the Line of Fire site shortly so you can find that. But I asked Professor Small, I'm not talking about polygamy or anything else right now, but please tell me why marriage is the union of two people. Just tell me why it's two. When anyone comes to you and says, well, you should redefine it and say, well, you said you believe in polygamy. No, we don't believe in that. Okay. Why is marriage the union of two people? Why? If it's not male, female, if it's not a man and a woman, with the biological compatibility and emotional compatibility, and as a rule, the possibility of being able to procreate, because it's male plus female. Please tell me why it's two. Why does it have to be two? Why not three, four, five, or one? Professor Small had zero answer to that through the debate, and I've yet heard an answer to, well, no, marriage is two people. No, marriage is the union of a man and woman. Marriage was never just two people. It was the union of a man and a woman. That's why two. All right. We're just getting started. 866-348-7884. We lost Holly in Salem, Massachusetts. You would have been the first caller on this program from Naples, Italy. All right, Joey, let's play clip number two. Again, young people, I said they claim 75-80%. Well, a recent survey claims 70% of millennials born since 1980, aged 18 to 32 today, are in favor of same-sex marriage, according to the polls and the way the question was asked. I wonder what the answer would be if you said, are you in favor of making marriage genderless? All right, clip number two.
Time magazine has these so-called controversial covers that feature gay couples kissing. One features two gay guys kissing, and the other features lesbians kissing. Now, they already established on the cover that gay marriage already won. So that's a pretty strong statement, especially because of the fact that, you know, nearly half the country still doesn't accept gay marriage. So yep. Has gay marriage really won? But I think that these covers are great. I like the covers. I think they're artistic. I think they're beautiful. And it shows you, like, the personal side of gay marriage and gay couples and how they're lovely people and there's nothing to be worried about.
Boy, do I beg to differ with those descriptions. Friends, people may love each other. That does not mean you make marriage genderless. We're just getting started right here on The Line of Fire.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, Time Magazine. How gay marriage won. First, the Supreme Court hasn't made decisions on these cases, and they may not make any kind of final decision on the redefining of marriage cases and the Defense of Marriage Act. Plus, the 31 states have thus far voted against redefining marriage, plus four states that went in the direction of redefining marriage were heavily blue states, and our side was outspent like 5-1, and in most cases the votes were very, very close. Plus, are you going to call it victory when Americans embrace polygamy and polyamory? Are you going to call it victory when marriage becomes so pliable that, hey, last year a woman married herself and Anderson Cooper had her on his TV show to talk about it? She just got fed up with broken relationships. She previously married, had a kid, decided she's going to marry herself. The only sane word that came out of the article I read was her 11-year-old son saying, "Mom, I love you, but you're embarrassing me." You say, "That's crazy." Well, why is it any more crazy than changing marriage to two men and two women? So Time Magazine has a picture of two women kissing, two men kissing. I looked at it, like, duh, yeah, that's icky. That's icky to me. And it's icky in God's sight, and it's not what he intended. You say those people don't love each other? I didn't say they don't love each other. I simply said it is not what God intended. It is not God's will. It is not according to his plan, to his design, to that which is best. And it leads inevitably to the destruction of the very meaning of marriage. And the fact of the matter is, those who raise a moral objection, those who raise a moral objection to redefining marriage, and we say, look, there is a slippery slope. Oh, let me just see. I've got a bunch of quotes here. There is a slippery slope. Here, let's go to Joey, clip number five. Clip number five.
Until the early 90s, the word polyamory didn't even exist. It was invented by this couple, Morning Glory Ravenheart and her husband Oberon. Morning Glory and Oberon are New Age pagans.
I don't think anyone becomes polyamorous any more than you become gay or become female. I love to love, and I love to meet other people, new people, to flirt, to have adventures. So a monogamous life would simply not work for me.
And now here she's saying, it's not behavior, it's who I am. It's who I am. Don't I have the right to be who I am? When one of the attorneys arguing to make marriage genderless before the Supreme Court was asked, well, then what about polygamy? Or he said, well, no, see, that's a behavior. This is identity. This is who someone is. They're born that way and they can't change. Well, no, there's no scientific evidence that anyone was born gay. And there's plenty of evidence that some people do change. And certainly we all know that everyone can suppress a behavior. But here's a polyamorous saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. By the way, again, I'm inviting your calls, not just to say that you agree with me, But if you disagree with me and believe that we should look at redefining marriage or that it's right to redefine marriage, if you have questions about how to answer people, you're getting hit with stuff. People are posting on Facebook. You don't know how to respond. Christian friends are challenging you. You don't know how to respond. Then by all means, call in. If you feel you've got solid wisdom and here's an argument to use on our behalf, but no reason just to call and say you agree with me. I appreciate the agreement, but I trust that the vast majority of you listening agree. We want to try to take this deeper. Oh, okay. One more clip. And this is with an attorney. Okay. This is with an attorney discussing the issue of polygamy. Is there a slippery slope? Jonathan Turley, I mean, he's a law professor at George Washington University. Clip number 6.
Is there anything germane in either of the arguments, either of the day's cases in same-sex marriage that relates to your case?
Really what this case reflects is where the gay and lesbian community was almost exactly 10 years ago, before the ruling in Lawrence v. Texas. That was the ruling where the Supreme Court said you could not criminalize homosexuality. The polygamists are a decade behind that. And when we talk about polygamists, you have to remember that cohabitation statutes really apply to a vast array of plural families that are often ignored.
But is the answer here more simply that gay marriage expresses contemporary mores? Polygamy doesn't.
Well, I think that there's something to that, but and quite frankly, it's wrong. You cannot defend a new civil liberty by denying it to others. I think that there is a grander, more magnificent trend that you can see in the law, and that is this right to be left alone. People have a right to establish their families as long as they don't harm others.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is that you cannot ultimately say, well, we're just redefining marriage to say it's the union of two people without explaining why. You're going to stop it at two. And I want to reemphasize a few things. Ask someone, do you really believe in marriage equality for all? Then what about polygamy, polyamory, adult incestuous relationships? All these are before the courts and in the media these days, okay? Second thing, why two? Why two? Why two people? Why not three? Why not four? Why two? And the only reason it's two, because it's a man and a woman. Like the 11-year-old girl that testified before Congress last year, that we played the audio clip, testified a few weeks ago, rather, before, was it legislators in Rhode Island? And she said it takes a mother and father to make a baby. It should take a mother and father to raise a baby. Okay, listen, I have an exciting announcement for you. Exciting announcement. We've been getting asked constantly, when's the debate going to be available with you and Dr. White on Calvinism and predestination election? When is it going to be available? And we're going to be shipping 2 weeks or less. You can pre-order now and we'll pay the postage. $20 for a 2-DVD set, in depth with civility and respect, in depth discussion of predestination, election, and the will of God. Dr. James White, my dear friend and colleague, and I, our friendship is evident throughout, our respect is evident throughout, and our differences are evident as we get into this. You'll find it eye-opening, so helpful. So to order your copies, again, we'll pay the shipping now as you pre-order, and we'll be shipping in about 2 weeks, perhaps less. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Again, that's 1-800-278-9978, or just go to our online bookstore, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore, and you'll see the special offer there, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore or call 1-800-278-9978. You'll really be blessed, edified by these debates. We come back for all those that will continue to be with me here on the Line of Fire. I'm going to share some of my opening comments in the debate with Professor Eric Small on same-sex marriage should be legal.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's think about this argument for a moment. The young generation overwhelmingly supports redefining marriage, making it genderless, although they probably wouldn't put it that way. They support a man being able to marry a man, a woman being able to marry a woman. We're told the vast majority of young people support that. Well, does that mean it's inevitable that the country's going to change its view? Does that mean there's no reason to hold our ground, or perhaps to lose a job because we cannot participate in the redefining of marriage? 866-348-7884. How do we respond when we're told that young people have these views? And should it color our own thinking? Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way live from Naples, Italy. Boy, oh, I've had a wonderful time with the brothers and sisters here. My 21st trip to Italy. My book, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change, was released in conjunction with the conference here. And that's a very radical book for many churches in Italy, but they know me. They know my heart for the body. They know my honor of the leaders here. And, boy, people are hungry and thirsty. And there's a sense I get in Europe of things being on the verge of moral chaos and economic collapse. I mean, it's you should read the headlines, and it's there. But I have a similar sense in America. We're teeter-tottering at a very precarious place. And we look in America, and we see where young people are at. What do we say when we hear these polls? Well, some of the results come from the way things are asked. But I don't doubt that the younger generation, especially as you get into the teen years, I don't doubt that the majority of them, perhaps the large majority, want to see marriage redefined. So what do I make of that? First, I had a lot of views when I was young that I don't have today. Now, yeah, I got radically saved at the age of 16, and of course that impacted things. But even views I had when I was 18 or 20, just general views, obviously biblically based views, those haven't changed. But, you know, you grow up. I remember when our daughters were teenagers, young teenagers, and they said, you know, you got too many rules as parents. I said, all right, tell you what, girls, I want you to write down, if you were mom and dad, exactly what the rules would be. I want you to write them down, and then when you're older, when you have your own kids, we'll sit down and talk about it. So we laugh about it now that they're 35 and 34. We laugh about it. But it was like no curfews, no rules, no having to clean the room, no standard, no this, you know. Right. Sure, you may think that way when you're younger, but then views do change as you get older. So it's not inevitable that these views are going to be fixed as people get older. That's one thing. A second thing is, well, there's a lot of this brainwashing from the media. A lot of it has to do with the liberal media pouring its views out day and night and impacting people and brainwashing them with propaganda. Oh, they may believe it's true what they're saying, but the fact is the kids are getting brainwashed. Younger people are getting brainwashed by the media. The constant bombardment, the religious hypocrites, the right, the evil, the wonderful gays. Now, of course, there are a lot of wonderful gay and lesbian people and fine citizens and good friends and good workers, and there are a lot of Christian idiots. I understand that. But the media portrays things in these completely skewed ways and puts forth the, you know, now it's sex change surgery is the cool thing to do. And swingers and polyamorous, that's just cool. And hey, the media even glorify prostitution and on and on and on it goes. So young people have been brainwashed by the media. We're supposed to therefore say, oh, well, they must be right. Now, this I will say. More and more people are out of the closet, because of which there's a different perspective than what a lot of the older generation had. How do we respond to that when it comes to redefining marriage? We'll take it up when we come back live from Italy.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you believe that a man should have the right to marry a man, or a woman have the right to marry a woman? If I'm talking to you on WEZE in Boston, or if I'm talking to you in WMCA, WLIX, Long Island, New York, New Jersey, well, some of these states now have redefined marriage. If I'm talking to another part of the country, well, it hasn't been redefined there. 31 states said, no, we're not redefining it. We're embedding it in our Constitution that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. But where is the next generation going to take it? And is there any reason to question what Scripture says on these issues or what society should say? 866-34-TRUTH coming away live from Naples, Italy, and then a couple hours after the show, I hope to be fully packed, laying in bed, getting a few hours sleep before leaving here. I guess it'll be the equivalent, leaving the house here, the equivalent of maybe 10 in the evening, stateside time, Eastern Standard Time, and then making my way back to the United States of America. Listen to this quote. And if you want to get in the conversation, if you believe we should redefine marriage, if you believe we should just accept that, hey, if the state makes a change, it makes a change, we shouldn't divide over it. If you have a question about how to answer people who say that marriage is the union of any two people who love each other, or everyone should have the right to marry the one they love, give me a call, 866-348-7884. But listen to this. This is a quote I've often referred to from Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen's well-known book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. These were two Harvard-trained gay authors. And this book comes out in the late 80s, becomes a national bestseller. And they put this out plainly. Their goal was, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. Shall I repeat that? Their goal was, quote, the conversion of the average American's emotions, mind, and will through a planned psychological attack in the form of propaganda fed to the nation via the media. And I get into that extensively in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. You say, all right, but the younger generation has had their views changed so deeply. And the number one reason why people will say that two men or two women should be able to, quote, marry is because they know someone who's gay. Now, here's what troubles me. Did we come up with our arguments and biblical convictions in a vacuum? Did we come up with these arguments never having met a gay person, never having interacted with two men or two women that said they loved each other, never reading their stories, never hearing them talk about their family and how they love the kid that they're raising? Did we just come up with these arguments in such a way that when we meet a gay person, it's like, oh, you're gay and you're a decent human being, I guess we should redefine marriage. Oh, you two are gay and you seem to make a great couple. I guess we should rethink what the Bible said. What? We form these things in that kind of vacuum. We form these things without having thought through the issues. We form these things without knowing gay people. Maybe some did. Look, you want to know the first gay couple that I knew, that I was exposed to, that was presented with as here they are with no moral disapproval towards them? My first organ teacher when I was 5.5 years old. My sister and I started playing organ. She was 3.5 years older than me. And we started to learn organ. And the first teacher that we had was a guy from Manhattan. We lived on Long Island. A guy from Manhattan named Russ. And he had a partner named Ed. Ed was a beautician. I don't know what Russ, I guess Russ just gave music lessons for a living. A musician maybe along with that. I understand, I only found this out in recent years from my mom, but they had been previously married and they left their wives and they were partners. And they would come all the way out. They'd take the train out from the city to Long Island. Russ would give us lessons, and then they'd often stay for dinner. And then my parents would drink socially, or my dad would. I never saw him drunk or anything. But Ed and Russ would stay over and drink, and I understand they'd drink a bit more. And I remember one time we visited them in New York in their apartment, the two of them. I remember it seemed a little odd to me, the two men in the apartment. But this, I was 5.5 years old, okay? That's the environment I grew up in. It's not like, well, if you're gay, you've got the cooties. If you're gay, you're the worst person in the world. If you're gay, you're just trying to seduce a little child. No, I didn't grow up with that. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, my next organ teacher was a black man married to a white woman. And this is what, early to mid-60s, they suffered a lot because of that. And you might say, yes, it's all the same thing, interracial marriage and same-sex marriage. No, it's not. Interracial marriage was prohibited because of bigotry and evil thinking among Americans, because it has all the essential ingredients necessary for marriage, namely a man and a woman, which has always been the essential ingredient for marriage, a male and a female. That's the way God designed it. Look, don't get away from the fact that there is biological compatibility. Don't go away. Here, you still need a male and a female to produce a baby, one way or another. That's the way God designed it. If you go back before we had artificial insemination and other artificial means of someone being impregnated, you would not have the ability, aside from adoption, you would not have the ability for two men or two women to have a child if they were exclusively homosexual. That indicates to me that something is wrong there. It's sad. It hurts. I remember talking to a gay man. We were flying somewhere, and he worked in a diversity department with Bank of America or something like that. And we were talking back and forth, and I asked him, you know, about being gay, and he seemed like a real nice guy. We were having a great conversation about things. And I asked him if there were, you know, any regrets. And he said to me very seriously, very sadly, well, we can't have children. We can't have children. And there was just something fundamental that was wrong in that. And when you recognize that although God gave sex as something pleasurable and wonderful between a husband and a wife and something that we're blessed with, he gave it as a good thing, not as an evil thing to be avoided. The fact of the matter is, its primary function is procreation. Otherwise, there would be no human race. We would die in a generation. So as wonderful as sexual union can be between a husband and a wife, and it's a blessing of intimacy that God gives, its primary purpose was procreation. When you have it exclusively and only, with the only possibility of non-procreation by nature, by definition, we're not talking about a situation where a couple is married and they should be able to have kids, but there's some problem whereas they can't. There's sterility or something like that. I'm talking about by design, by nature. You cannot reproduce, and sex cannot have anything to do with reproduction and procreation. Something's fundamentally wrong with that. A woman can nurse a baby. A man can't. God designed us in certain ways with something in mind. And what that tells me is this. Just like this little girl whose testimony we played last week asked legislators, So which one do you want to take away? Which one can I do without, my mommy or my daddy? And they had no answer. They had no response. Which one do you want to take away, my mommy or my daddy? Which one is not important, is indispensable, my mommy or my daddy? What we're going to find out, painfully, what we're going to find out is once we redefine marriage, if that's the way society goes, not only will it codify as bigots, just like the KKK, not only will it codify as bigots those who do not agree with and believe in genderless marriage, that's something else we'll come to in a moment. Not only will it break down the boundaries of the very meaning of marriage so that we end up with polygamy, polyamory, incestuous relationships, and the like being actively discussed, if not even legalized in certain parts of the country. But you also grow up with a great and terrible social experiment where we discover after a generation or so that the best mommy is still not a daddy, and the best daddy is still not a mommy, and that there are real differences between moms and dads versus moms and moms and dads. We come back with a quote that will, shock you, I would say. Shock you. It's relevant.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, Joy, I want you to get clips number 11 and 12 relevant. Another major reason that we say that you cannot redefine marriage is that by redefining marriage, you make it genderless. Michael Brown, coming away live from Italy, 866-348-7884. If you redefine marriage, you make it genderless. So not only do you have no legitimate reason to say why it must be just two people, in addition to that, you now are saying that gender doesn't matter, that instead of bride and groom, male, female, father, mother, it could be bride and bride, groom and groom. Or as one lesbian couple creatively said, bride and broom for them. Oh, wonderful. You have birth certificates that say parent A, parent B. You have that in Spain, for example. You have law books in parts of Canada that are removing any reference that could be a gender-oriented husband-wife reference, just removing those. See, it's a much larger thing. And if you believe gender matters, then you cannot redefine marriage. Joey, let's play clip number 11.
But what about people who say they're neither male nor female? Richard O'Brien doesn't want surgery, but to find a happy medium between maleness and femaleness. And he has scientific backing for his belief that we're on a gender spectrum. Cambridge psychology professor Melissa Hines believes he's right. There aren't just two distinct sexes.
I think that the research in this field suggests just the opposite, that there is not a gender binary, that there's a range of gender. And there are many dimensions of gender, and an individual person can be in a different position in terms of how masculine or feminine they are on each of these dimensions. I think the source of people's inability to really incorporate this idea into their thinking has to do with the human mind's wanting things to be simple. They want things to be yes, no, male, female, black, white. And that's not the nature of the world.
Yeah, look, my heart goes out to people who struggle with gender identity. Maybe you're listening now, you got a kid that's 4 years old, a boy, and he insists he's a girl. These are serious issues, and these kids need help, and the church needs to come around and say, hey, we're here to help and to pray and for wisdom and for godly counseling to be involved. But once you say, well, you can't just say male or female, we're not talking about someone born with ambiguous organs, okay? We're talking about someone that is fully male or fully female from everything we can tell, and yet on the inside they have a conflict. So this fellow Richard O'Brien, a friend sends me an email, and he says he feels, 70% male or 70% female? And I click on the link. Oh, the picture. This poor guy is part female, part male, very evidently a man, but in a dress, and now he feels at home. He needs help. He needs help. No, this now becomes the norm because you cannot have a gender binary, a constricting gender binary that says there's either male or female. female. This is, friends, this is where it goes. It's already there. We must wake up and recognize what's happening in society when we casually redefine marriage, because people should have the right to marry the one they love. Clip number 12.
Maybe we'll all soon be defining our gender identity in percentage terms, just like Richard O'Brien. If you think this is fanciful and that it's hard enough to get your head around the new territory policymakers have led us onto, then brace yourself. This may be where we're heading next. Trans campaigner Ruth Pearce.
I think a massive battle still needs to be fought legally, and that's for trans people who don't identify as female or as male. Trans people who might describe themselves, for instance, as genderqueer, as androgyne, as bigender, or as gender fluid, to use just some terms that people use to describe themselves. And I think the big legal battle at the moment is moving beyond binary gender to a place where people can move through the world legally without having to say that they're female or male.
Change is coming.
Yep, change is coming. Now, I'm glad that those who are struggling have helped make us aware of their struggles. But you don't normalize it. You don't now turn the whole world upside down because some people are struggling. And hear me, the more you talk about gender fluid and, hey, you could be male or female or neither or both, the more you talk about this, the more you put this out, the more people now just define things based on how they feel. The sky is the limit, is it not? Is it not? Let me read something to you from Jacob. Hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to offer you some encouragement and tell you how much I love and appreciate you and your ministry. I'm same-sex attracted and became aware of you at a pivotal time in my life while I was in graduate school. Though I've never acted on it, I went through a tumultuous time when I realized that I had a problem and then had to figure out what to do with myself. So he realized I'm same-sex attracted, but that's not who I am. He said, fortunately, God began to reveal himself to me in a big way and showed me that he had a better plan for my life if I would just trust and follow him. That was back in 2010. And though it isn't easy, you have always encouraged me in more ways than you'll know. You've deepened my knowledge of Scripture, encouraged me in truth, and spurred my love for Israel and the Jewish people. I'm so thankful for you. Please keep doing what you're doing. God bless you, Dr. Brown. I'm standing with you in prayer and as a torchbearer, as a monthly supporter. I wrote back to Jacob immediately to thank him. But would you just put down the name Jacob? God knows who he is, and pray for him, that God would touch him and give him wholeness and strength and complete deliverance from same-sex attraction, that he would no longer struggle with these issues, and that he would find everything he needs in the Lord. Would you do that? And would you consider joining Jacob as a torchbearer? I went to Italy. This is a missions trip, friend. They didn't take big offerings to support our ministry here, or as far as I know, any offerings. We went to pour into the people here, and I have been richly rewarded by that. But we have bills to pay, radio bills to pay, as we continue to do outreach around the world, outreach to the Jewish people. We really need your help. So partner with us. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. Or help us with a one-time gift. And when you call to order the 2-DVD set of my debate on Calvinism with my dear friend and colleague, Dr. James White, we're taking pre-orders now. We'll ship in 2 weeks. With your pre-order, we'll pay the postage. So when you call to order, consider being a torchbearer. Consider helping with an additional gift so that together we can make a difference in many more lives. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on the online bookstore. Boy, I didn't even get into my debate comments with Professor Eric Small. Keep listening if you can. The next hour, listen online, and I will continue the discussion. Also, go to townhall.com. Read my latest article on Planned Parenthood confirms its baby killer status. My bottom line today, when God established the foundation of human civilization, male, female marriage, and everything flows out of that, we dare not tamper with the foundations of society. So someone says to you, but if two men or two women love each other, shouldn't they have the right to be married? And don't you believe in marriage equality for all? And isn't that the Jesus way? Do you have an answer for them? We'll equip you today, live from Italy.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if I'm an international speaker, that means I sometimes speak internationally, and I've just finished three glorious days of meetings here right outside of Naples, Italy. I'm back in Naples now, coming your way live. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I have been getting so many requests, email, Facebook, people talking to me one-on-one. And it keeps coming up. I don't know how to answer people. I mean, they want to redefine marriage, and then the Supreme Court's talking about it, and people say to me, well, why can't two men marry or two women marry? They love each other. Why shouldn't they be able to? What's wrong with it? And I'm finding a lot of Christians who don't have an answer, don't have simple answers, don't have biblical answers, don't have wise answers. So we're spending 2 hours on The Line of Fire today, just finished 1 hour, now our second hour, helping to equip you, our listening audience, to better respond to these objections. If you agree that with same-sex so-called marriage, if you agree that marriage should be genderless and should be redefined, tell me why. I won't yell at you. I won't bark at you. I won't be nasty to you. 866-348-7884. If you're genuinely confused about it, give me a call. If you believe it's wrong but don't know how to answer, glad to talk to you as well. Or if you think you've got some real wisdom to contribute to the discussion, then by all means, give us a call. 866-348-7884. I will read excerpts of some of my opening comments to Professor Eric Small when we debated this at the University of Central Florida last year. If you want to watch that, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click, type in the word SMAW in the search engine there, S-M-A-W, and you'll see the links come up to watch that free online. We're transferring a lot of our debates that we've got scattered in different places over to one YouTube channel. We're on a few different YouTube channels, and then many, many, I don't know how many dozens and dozens of clips and excerpts and debates and lectures and TV appearances or whatever, or just different people put up on YouTube. We're trying to gather as many together as we can in one place to make it easier for you to access them. Right now, the easiest way to watch this, AskDrBrown.org, just type in SMAW, S-M-A-W, and you'll see a link to the debate. But a few things we said in the first hour. Number one, a good question to ask is, do you really believe in marriage equality for all? Do you believe that everyone has the right to marry the person they love? In which case, you have to deal with websites like Full Marriage Equality, which says, advocating for the right of consenting adults to share and enjoy love, sex, residence, and marriage without limits on the gender, number, or relation of participants. Full marriage equality is a basic human right. Hey, the same media that was pushing gay rights and gay marriage and celebration of homosexuality in recent years is more recently pushing polygamy and polyamory. And more Hollywood movies are coming out with incest scenes and making them positive. Now, I haven't seen any of them, but I can read about them and write about them and document this. So do you really believe in marriage equality for all? And someone says they do, because most people don't. And once they limit it, well, no, it's just for two men or two women. Oh, based on what? So that leads to another question. Why is marriage two people? Why is marriage two people? Third question, does gender not matter? Are the genders interchangeable? Number four, are you willing to codify as bigots those who hold to the only definition of marriage? History is basically known until recently. All right, we're just getting started.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, friends. What a gratifying time it's been in Italy, my 21st trip to the country here. And the Church of Italy, friends, is very, very small. Born-again population of Italy, of Italians, well under 1%. And increasingly marginalized in certain ways. And to see a movement among young people to have 1,000-plus people attending this conference, total attendance probably be 1,500 or more because different people came on different days. A hotel just packed out. So many young people hungry for God, so much pursuit of the Lord. Just some times of worship where at the end of the night, I was just beaming with joy because of what God had done and the repentance that we had seen and the hunger for God and the commitment to follow Jesus and to see the gospel going forward from generation to generation as we had a special time of the joining of the generations today, how the hearts of the fathers need to be turned to the children to the fathers. And it just so happened that we had our largest number of older people today, including some of the top Christian leaders of the nation were there. So it was a precious, precious time. Those that have been praying, those that are supporters, those that help with the trip, thank you. 866-348-7884. We're talking about redefining marriage. We're talking about how the church needs to respond with wisdom to this and have answers for those who challenge beyond simply quoting scripture, although our ultimate authority is what God says. People say, yeah, well, the Bible sanctioned polygamy and the Bible sanctioned, you know, all kinds of strange relationships and you have a concubine and this and that. Well, what God set forth as the ideal never changed. One man, one woman for life. In Genesis 2, those are uniquely designed for each other and compatible with each other. And those alone have the possibility of procreation. Again, the issue is not can every couple procreate, but does the design of marriage have within it the possibility of procreation? And the reason that the government gets involved with marriage, because we're not talking about the church here, we're talking about the government. The reason the government gets involved with marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society, so society conveys benefits on marriage. And the fundamental benefit it conveys is the reproducing of a new generation and the joining of that generation with a mother and father so that they can be raised in an optimal environment. That's the only reason the government gets involved with the issue of marriage. Otherwise, the government's not telling you who you can date or who you can like or whose hand you can hold walking down the street. The government's not telling you that, is it? 866-34-TRUTH. So the fact of the matter is, when you look at Scripture, God established marriage as the union of a man and woman, period. That's what he established in creation. And then Jesus reiterates it in Matthew 19 as God's design. And divorce only came in because of the hardness of human hearts, not because it was God's design. And when you have polygamy, almost every example that's laid out of polygamy in the Old Testament is a failure, is a disaster. And God warned against the king taking too many wives in Deuteronomy 17. But by the time you get to the New Testament, Paul lays out that if you're going to be a leader, you can only have one wife. So you can't even be a leader if you have multiple wives. And then the people were to follow the example of the leader. So right there, you have the end of any type of, quote, sanctioning of polygamy. So my question is, what is sanctioned in Scripture and ordained by God as his ideal? It's always simply been union of a man and a woman for life, and with the goal that they can reproduce children for the next generation. Now, I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, and I've got some fascinating audio clips to play for you as well. But let's just go one step further on this. Even within the variations of marriage that you had in Scripture, even when you had polygamous relationships and things like that, you never had a man with a man and a woman with a woman, ever. Never had that. You never, ever had that. And there were such things as gay men, or they didn't call themselves that, but men who love men and women who love women. That existed back then. And yet the idea of it was never countenanced. One of the big things we need to do is hold fast to marriage, the definition of marriage. Let me explain. A, B, C, D, E, that, okay, that's spelling, not math, correct? Correct. 2 plus 2 is 4. That's math, not spelling. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. I don't say same-sex marriage. I say same-sex so-called marriage. I put marriage in quotes because we want to remember what marriage is. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones, starting with Dan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
So, yeah, the problem I find is, you know, I'm a Christian, and I talk with other Christians, and they just are so adamant about, you know, anti-gay marriage, which I'm against gay marriage, too. But they're so passionate about it. And yet, adultery, which is clearly what the homosexual lifestyle is about, is rampant throughout the church. And you know, your son brings home a good-looking daughter, and you know, they're giving them a nod and a wink and like it's okay. And pornography is rampant. Adultery is adultery. And we Christians have blurred the line so bad. And I'm saying this, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner. But they blurred it so bad. Our society acts like adultery is the norm. But then...
Yeah, adultery, yeah, Dan, adultery technically is for a married couple... Then have someone who's married to have sex with someone that they're not married to. That would be adultery. And then say two teenagers sleeping together who are not married would be fornication. But it's all sexual sin. Pornography is sexual sin. And Dan, I have said over and over publicly, take it one step further, that no fault heterosexual divorce has done more to destroy the institution of marriage than all gay activists combined. If we did not do such damage to marriage, if we did not have so much promiscuity in our own midst, if we did not have all the issues with pornography, if we didn't have all the scandals in the pulpit, we wouldn't be talking about these other things, because marriage would be upheld and honored and recognized for what it is. And while our hearts would go out to two men or two women who say we love each other, we'd say, well, listen, we believe God has a better way for you, but no one's stopping you from loving each other in society. We're just not going to redefine marriage. So yes, we absolutely always must look in the mirror, Dan, always must look at our own lives, always must confess our own sins. And now someone would say, yeah, well, we've made a mess of it. Okay, well, then don't make more of a mess of it. You know, let's not destroy
exactly
the thing
right.
even
and,
further.
And that's kind of my point is, let's take each person, take responsibility for themselves, and let's not hate the sinner, let's hate the sin, but let's be open and discuss the fact that we have individually fallen short, and step up and hold our children accountable and keep our marriage, the attack on the family. God made the family even before the church, and so the attack yes. on the family is it's really the biggest problem we have here.
Yeah, Dan, I'm absolutely with you. You're 100% right. We need to look at the larger issues. What makes the gay activist issue so unique is that it's knocking on our door. In other words, we don't have adultery pride parades, but we have gay pride parades. We don't have the Supreme Court saying, well, adultery is okay, but we have the Supreme Court ruling on whether same-sex so-called marriage is okay. But, Dan, of course, I fully agree with you. 866-348-7884. Before I get to those audio clips, let me go to the phones again. James in Reidsville, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Brown?
Oh, it's going great here in Italy. Thanks, man.
I got a question pertaining to Scripture. I've talked to some people, and they have thrown out, you know, the verses about Jonathan and David's relationship, and, you know, I've wholeheartedly just reject that. But with Ruth and Naomi, where the word cleave is used in dealing with Adam and Eve, and then it talks about Ruth cleaving to Naomi, and they try to insinuate that as some sort of homosexual relationship. And, you know, I don't believe that, but how do I address that?
Yeah, it's interesting. The other argument they would use is they say, hey, look, you know, we often use the very things in the marriage ceremony, you know, your God will be my God and your people will be my people and so on. And where does that come from? That comes from Ruth and Naomi. The first thing, the word davak, okay, which is cleave, is used, oh, I'm just looking here, about 60 different times in the Hebrew scriptures. And I'm hard pressed to find ones that are sexual in content. Okay, so the word itself, cleave, is used, I'm just looking at in my Hebrew concordance here as we're talking, is used over and over and over again, and rarely is it used. I mean, your tongue can cleave to the roof of your mouth, for example. You know, it's, so to make it sexual is completely wrong. Let's also remember, James, that they were both married to men. And that Ruth then remarried a man, Boaz. So forget this nonsense that they were lesbians. It is a poor joke. Even worse when people take it seriously.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You're mean. You're just mean, bigoted, discriminatory. You say we don't have a right to love each other? Two human beings want to love each other and they don't break the law. It's not none of my business. But I'm not going to redefine marriage because of someone's sexual desires and romantic attractions. And it's complete insanity to think that we redefine the most foundational human institution and the foundation of family and life, namely marriage, based on people's sexual desires and romantic attractions. I'm not belittling struggles that people have or the frustration they have, saying we care about each other, we should have the right to be married. But let me tell you something. When Nancy and I got married, we didn't get married for tax benefits. We didn't get married for estate planning in the future. We got married out of love and commitment, and if the state recognized it or not was not the issue to us. We got married before the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about answers to those who say, well, what's wrong with redefining marriage? A little later in the broadcast, I'll repeat some of the answers that we've given. And if you differ with me, give me a call, 866-348-7884. Look, if we believe what the media is telling us, it's not just that Joe and James and Sally and Mary have the, quote, right to be together, but we need to get rid of a lot of our prudish, old-fashioned, antiquated dinosaur views about monogamy, about one man with one woman for life. That's constricting and negative, and that actually hurts marriage, we're told. It's helpful to just have open relationships with others. Joey, let's go to clip number 7.
We're pretty normal people. We have 2 kids. They go to school. We're part of the PTA. Okay. We go have coffee like people do, and we go have breakfast like everyone does.
But unlike most Americans, they are advocates of the swinging lifestyle. They host a weekly radio show about it and say that extramarital sex is good for their relationship. Some studies show a third of men and a quarter of women will be unfaithful in their marriage. Holly and Michael say swinging is a way to have the sex you want without cheating.
We don't advocate having affairs. We advocate communication. If that means your woman is with other women, great. Cheating is built on lies. Swinging is built on trust.
Well, what's wrong? What's wrong with it? Hey, they're happy with it. Husband and wife, they're open. Hey, I'm going to sleep with this one. I'm going to sleep with this one. That's trust. That's integrity. Cheating, see, doing it behind the person's back, that's a lie. But we do it openly. Hey, cool. Why not? Our kids are like everybody else. Let's go to clip number 8.
Children who are privy to the fact that their parents believe in having multiple people to have sexual relations with, how does a child ever learn what structure and consistency is? And how does a child experience good self-esteem? Rather, they think, well, if my mother's not good enough for my father and my father needs to be with somebody else to be fulfilled, well, then how will I ever be good enough for somebody?
Yeah. Now, of course, I'm chiming in with my sarcastic comments. But of course, Of course you mess with everything when you just say it doesn't really matter. Hey, just fine, whatever arrangement in the world you want, and let the kids grow up with it. No, it makes an impact. And when you grow up, you're a girl, you see a man with a man, you do not know. It is not modeled for you how a man treats a woman. It's not modeled for you. And relations with the opposite sex in a romantic way is not modeled for you. And whatever a father brings that a mother can't bring, or a mother brings that a father can't bring, is not modeled for you. These things matter. That kid may do fine in school and show well in other social ways, but in terms of the fullness of humanity, there's going to be something missing when you don't have the proper ingredients there. And the same thing with a polyamorous or swinging relationship. Okay, one more clip. Just to drill these points home, clip number 9.
Robin has identified as polyamorous her entire life. 2 decades after discovering Loving More, Robin is now running the organization.
Loving More is a national nonprofit and really the premier national organization for polyamory awareness. What we are there for is support to help people who are dealing with issues around polyamory, whether they're personal issues, making relationships work. We have 3 to 4 conferences a year that teach relationship skills, polysexuality, all kinds of different things that can help somebody have successful relationships.
The poly community in America is growing. Today, there are over 30,000 people in Loving More's database.
And we've definitely seen the groups grow. I'm getting calls from places you wouldn't expect who are trying to find polyamory meetings now. So I would say it's increasing exponentially as people learn that there's an alternative.
And for Robin, freedom of choice is at the heart of relationships.
We're not just like advocating that everybody should be polyamorous, and I think that's a big misnomer, that somehow we think everyone should do this. I don't. I know it's not right for everyone, but I do think that it's important that people have a choice.
See, that's it. Love. It's love. It's loving more. It's having a choice. It's freedom. See, all the same lines that are being thrown at us by those wanting to redefine marriage are being thrown at us also by polygamous and polyamorous. And if you say yes to the one, you're going to say yes to the other. Look, next week, God willing, we'll have on with me a professor of philosophy who is a practicing homosexual. I've interacted with him. He seems to be an extremely decent guy. He has debated a gentleman from Focus on the Family for years. They became dear friends in the process. He says there is no slippery slope. He says there is no slippery slope. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it on the air, God willing, next week, and ask some point-blank questions. He's a thinking man. He doesn't mind honest questions. We'll probe it together. We come back, I want to review some of the arguments, some of the points I've raised, just simple responses to people who want to redefine marriage. We'll keep going with it. I will finally get to some of my comments from my debate with Professor Eric Small from last year. And we've been getting asked for some time, when's the debate with you and Dr. White on Calvinism going to be available? When's it going to be available? Well, we're going to be shipping it in about 2 weeks, so order now. We'll pay the postage. $20 postage page. We'll get 2 DVDs nicely packaged. My friend and colleague, Dr. James White, we debate predestination, election, the will of God. You'll find it wonderfully enlightening, full of substance, and done with grace. So call the order, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We'll pay the postage with your advance order. As I said, we should be shipping in about 2 weeks. All right, when we come back, a fascinating quote from Dr. Patricia Morgan about what ultimately happens to kids raised in a same-sex relationship. I'll take your calls. A whole lot more to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, one of my grads posted this on Facebook. He said, I don't understand how some people in their profile say, I love Jesus, I love the Word of God, and yet they're saying, yes, redefine marriage, yes, marriage equality, same-sex marriage. He said, I don't get it. And most people commented agreeing with him, but some who claim to be followers of Jesus took issue. Oh, yeah, we believe in marriage equality because we believe in Jesus. Well, we're helping folks respond and giving you answers and food for thought on that. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. Coming away from Naples, Italy, 866-34-TRUTH. I just had a wonderful few days of ministry here in Italy. I'm hoping to put up in a few days, or it may take a little longer before I get the clips, but I joined the worship band at the end of the meeting last night. We had a very intense meeting, 1,000+ in attendance, and I spoke on developing a revolutionary mentality, following Jesus by life or by death. We don't take life, but we lay our lives down for a sinning, dying world. We had a massive response, many people crying out, many tears, just the beautiful presence of the Lord. And then I said, hey, I'm going to join the worship team now. And we sang a slow worship song when the music fades, just to focus on Jesus. And I joined in playing drums with the worship band. And then after a time of worship, the guitar player said, hey, how about if we do this one step by step, following Jesus? It's an upbeat song. And we did it, and the place cut loose in celebration. Just the joy of the Lord was so wonderfully present. When we just said, Lord, we're yours to follow you, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence, we're yours. Here we are. Send us, use us. We want to make a difference in the schools. We want to make a difference in the place of business. We want to make a difference wherever you send us, to the nations. We want to glorify Jesus. Oh, the joy that comes with full surrender. It's just wonderful. It's indescribable. But, hey, France, in the throes of national division over the redefining of marriage. Britain being shaken, and the Anglican Church being shaken over the question of redefining marriage. Even the Prime Minister of Italy has had to weigh in and say, well, no, you kids should have a mom and a dad. You can't avoid this, and of course it's everywhere in America. So how do we answer that? How do we respond? There was testimony that was given by Dr. Patricia Morgan. I have a book that she's written on this subject about children as trophies. But listen to what she had to say. I'm going to read this to you. She told the House of Commons that same-sex marriage reinforced the idea that marriage is irrelevant to parenthood. She said same-sex marriage is both an effect and a cause of the evisceration of marriage, especially the separation between this and parenthood. She said, if marriage is only about couple relationships and is not intrinsically connected to parenthood, why not give the leavings to homosexuals, she asked. As marriage is redefined to accommodate same-sex couples, this reinforces the irrelevance of marriage to parenthood. Elsewhere, same-sex marriage is an instigator for the casualization of heterosexual unions and separation of marriage and parenthood. She added, same-sex marriage is more a terminus for marriage, or ultimate act of dissolution, rather than a force for revival. You know, Jerry, we come back, I want to play clip number 9. Hey, this is from Lisa Ling. She's on the Oprah channel, isn't she? About the normalization of marriage. And I don't have time to read this now, but I'm going to read you a couple of quotes from gay activists who forthrightly said, we want to redefine marriage because we want to destroy marriage. We want to redefine marriage. This is not all gay activists. This is, some have said this. We want to redefine marriage because we don't like this institution, because we find this to be a binding, old-fashioned, negative institution. And we know if we can redefine it, we can advance with our whole agenda. You can't stop it. Once you redefine marriage, there is no stopping gay activists. That's what they say. Oh, you'll hear the quote and another audio clip that'll raise your eyebrows when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm here in Italy, but Matt and Joey are watching my back in the States. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I already played. It's true. I already played clip number 9, so I won't play it again. We are in sync here in Italy. However, I don't get everything exactly right without teamwork. So thanks, guys, for watching my back. 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, as we talk about dangers of redefining marriage, a few essential things. When people say, well, I believe in marriage equality for all, ask them if they really do. Because if they do, they have to believe in polyamory, polygamy, and even consensual adult relationships between siblings. Incest. Yeah, and there, I have websites, quotes of people advocating these very things. Also ask, well, why is marriage? And say, no, marriage is only two people. Well, since when has it been only two people? It's been man and woman. It's not just been two people or two entities. Why two? It's a simple question. I've never gotten a solid answer for it yet. Why two people if it's not male plus female? If it's just male plus male or female plus female, why not three or four or five or eight or one? Why must it be two? Another question is, define marriage. And if you just say, well, it's two people loving, again, where do you get that definition from? Is it right to have an institution that guarantees that a kid, if raised in that, will either have no mother or no father? Should marriage be made genderless? Does gender matter? Are gender distinctions important? Is there a difference between a man and a woman? Should those differences be taken seriously? Is there a difference between a mother or a father? Which one is dispensable? Which one can be thrown away? Which one is replaceable? You also ask, is it right to completely separate marriage from procreation? Isn't that one of the foundational reasons for marriage, procreation for the next generation, and join a child with a mother and father? That's why the government conveys benefits on marriage, because marriage conveys benefits on the government and society. You say, what about two old people? You know, an old man, an old woman that can't have kids. No, we're talking about redefining so that it's now two males or two females, and it's now genderless. That's what we're talking about. Those are the issues before us. So when I debated Professor Eric Small last year at the University of Central Florida, I explained what the debate was not about. And I said it is about the meaning of marriage. And since marriage throughout human history has not been the committed union of any two or more people, but rather the committed union of a man and a woman, same-sex so-called marriage should not be legal simply because it is not marriage. We want to emphasize that. It's not marriage. I didn't say same-sex marriages are never grounded in love, but rather that same-sex marriage is not marriage. And there is no compelling reason for the state to change the meaning of the most fundamental of all social institutions. Not only so, but if we redefine marriage to be the union of any two people, we will have no defense against other radical redefinitions of marriage. In fact, such radical redefinitions are already being called for here in America and abroad based on the precedent of same-sex marriage. A British leader told us on the air, Christian British leader, a government, a politician, a member of the parliament, said that as he is looking at things, he sees the Muslim population in England saying very little or nothing about redefining marriage. Why aren't they vocal? Why aren't they saying, absolutely, we're against this? Of course they're against a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. Why aren't they saying anything? Because they know once it goes through, they can much more easily fight for polygamy. So how do we define marriage? And why does the state get involved with marriage? We're not stopping two people if they say they love each other from committing to each other, or some church having a commitment ceremony for them, but we're not redefining marriage based on that. The question would be, why should the state redefine marriage? Why does the state even care about marriage? Why does the government have an interest in getting involved in the sexual and romantic relationships of its citizens? Why does it convey certain benefits on marriage? Again, the reason the state conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the state. As my friend and colleague Frank Turek says, for what secular purpose does government recognize traditional marriage? Traditional marriage promotes public goods, it domesticates men, protects women, and provides a nurturing environment for children. Government recognition of traditional marriage helps reduce illegitimacy, crime, poverty, and welfare. Got a great quote from Maggie Gallagher I won't get into right now. But everything about marriage says male, female. And no matter how much we try to get used to it, there's still something not right about referring to her wife or his husband. And I was not the least bit impressed when a recent lesbian marriage featured a bride and broom. Broom being the not-so-happy combination of bride and groom. Just saying the words, I now pronounce you husband and husband, or wife and wife, or spouse and spouse, reminds us that there's a profound reason why marriage has always been about uniting a man and woman together in lifelong commitment, in sexual intimacy, and as a general rule, childbearing, the two opposites making a new wonderful whole and laying the foundation for the next generation. Genesis 2 says, it says the man and woman come together and become one. It is in that unique union that the fullness of God is manifest. That God created in his image male and female, not male and male, not female and female, but male and female. And that reflects the very image of God. I've got some shocker quotes from gay activists I'll share with you in a moment. But first to the phones, Tom in Jefferson, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brown. This genderless idea is already infecting our society. We've got the parents of a young boy who thinks he's a girl, and they're suing the school because he wants to play sports on the girls' teams, and which would mean using the girls' locker rooms. And they said because of discrimination laws, he should be allowed to. Otherwise, they're discriminating against him. So do those people want, you know, they think everything's okay with all these changes, but now they have to deal with their daughters being in a locker room with a guy, with a boy who's anatomically a boy, you know.
Exactly.
What will happen is the girls will stop taking showers, and I wonder how these grown-ups would feel if when they got to an airport or a bus station or something, there was no sign on the bathrooms that said men and women, just a sign that said toilet.
Yeah, and Tom, let's deal with the realities of these things. You have college campuses now where if you have at least two bathrooms in a building, then if you have three bathrooms, one is male, one is female, one is gender neutral. You have these cases left and right coming up about, well, male. Look, there is a man who applied to a girl's school, and he was declined. He identifies as a woman. He was declined just because they said the paperwork wasn't in order. Well, why should he be declined if he believes he's actually a woman in a man's body, and that's what it comes down to? I'm not demeaning the fact that these are individuals loved by God who are troubled, or that this kid that you mentioned is a troubled kid, but you don't stand the world upside down because of this. And yes, you're absolutely right, sir. This ties in directly with redefining marriage, because you're saying gender doesn't matter, or gender is malleable. Gender is how you feel about yourself as opposed to biological sex, and gender doesn't matter in marriage. Absolutely. You're right. And look, something else that happened. Did you hear about the case? I talked about it on the air. There's a grown man who's a college student, was like 40s or something like that. He identified as a woman. He would go to the school there, and he would use the sauna, steam room, whatever it was. He'd use the shower there. And this school, the swimming pool is also used by high schoolers. They'd go into the college to use the swimming pool there. So you got girls in the locker room or going to go in the sauna or the shower, and there is a man, probably long hair, whatever, but a male. And there's some, you know, how are you going to react? You're a girl in there. So they protested, and, you know, police came, and said, well, there's nothing we could do because the school has a position against discrimination based on gender identity. There's nothing we could do. Of course there's something you could do. Change the crazy rules. Of course there's something you could do. Yes, this is all related. It's one big package. Yeah, it frustrates me. It frustrates me when professing Christians and leaders don't have the sense to understand this is one big package we're dealing with. Of course it is. Of course it's all related. Don't let anyone tell you for a split second it's not. And here's the police report that the woman was sitting there with her male genitalia showing. Oh, just lovely. Makes plenty of sense, doesn't it? This is where it goes. Once you say gender doesn't matter, once you say marriage is genderless, and then once society changes, if a state passes a certain rule and says marriage is not a union of two men, two women, if you don't accept that, you go to jail. If you say, well, I can't be complicit with that, you could lose your job. And there's already pressure in other countries on religious leaders to say, well, you're going to have to agree with this because this is the policy. Okay, we come back. I will read you some quotes from gay activists about why they want to redefine marriage. And then I want to refer you to a very, very intense article I wrote that was just published today. When we come back, live from Italy on The Line of Fire. God of light, hear
our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, we're talking about the era of trying to redefine marriage, the significance of it. When I debated Professor Eric Small, and thanks, Randy, it was going on 2 years ago now, not a year ago. As I was saying a year ago, I knew it was longer. We're still getting used to 2013. But thanks, Randy. Man, what a great team. Randy, Matt, Joe, you've all helped set the record straight today as I'm pouring my heart out here in Italy. Thanks. But I point out a number of things in the debate. Now that Spain has legalized same-sex so-called marriage, birth certificates have been changed from mother and father to progenitor A and progenitor B. Is that an improvement? Radically redefining marriage means that children raised in such households are guaranteed to have either no father or no mother, leading to the question, which sex is dispensable, female or male? And for those of you who were raised by a mom and a dad, which of the two was unnecessary and dispensable? The implications of this are profound, as noted by Don Stefanowicz, whose father was openly homosexual. Quote, what makes it so hard for a girl to grow up with a gay father is that she never gets to see him loving, honoring, or protecting the women in his life. Polygamy. Would you agree with this statement by an advocate with Canadian Civil Liberties Association? She said consenting adults have the right, the charter-protected right, to form the families they want to form. You say, yeah, homosexual couples. No, she's talking about polygamous couples. And not couples, but whatever it is, three, four, however many. Can't get into every argument here. Some arguing that polyamory is actually a sexual orientation, that you're oriented to want to love multiple partners. And some men say, yeah, every male is wired for that. Every male is wired to want to have more than one woman. And even if he's happily married, to lust after other women and to desire other women. And you say no to that. What about, yeah, but look, you used to say that men couldn't marry, a black man couldn't marry a white woman. And you know, we had bans on interracial marriage. Now we have bans on same-sex marriage. No. One is marriage, the other is not. Dennis Prager observed, there are enormous differences between men and women, but there are no fundamental differences between people of different races. Men and women are inherently different, but blacks and whites and yellows and browns are inherently the same. Therefore, any imposed separation by race can never be moral or even rational. On the other hand, separation by sex can be both morally desirable and rational. Separate bathrooms for men and women are moral and rational. Separate bathrooms for blacks and whites are not. A black man's nature is not different from that of a white man, an Asian man, and Hispanic man. The same is not true of sex differences. Males and females are inherently different from one another. And then, friends, we have gay activists who have openly said, they're on record as saying, I quote them in A Queer Thing Happened to America and elsewhere, I brought them up in the debate with Eric Small. They have openly said, yes, our goal is to completely redefine marriage so that it loses all meaning. So that marriage itself is no longer an institution with any particular substance to it. They've actually come out and said these things. Others have simply said, once we get marriage redefined, then Here, listen to what Andrew Sullivan said, one of the most articulate gay activists out there, gay journalist. He wrote this more than 15 years ago. If nothing else was done at all and gay marriage were legalized, 90% of the political work necessary to achieve gay and lesbian equality will have been achieved. It's ultimately the only reform that matters. This is fully understood by gay activist friends. This is not a mystery, okay? You redefine marriage and everything else falls into place afterwards. All right, I'm switching topics to say this. I wrote an article. It's on townhall.com. Please go there and read it. It'll be on the homepage through the night. Planned Parenthood confirms its baby killer status. Oh, this is a shocker. It's getting read a whole lot already since it's been posted. A lobbyist for Planned Parenthood a few days ago when she was being asked by Florida legislators, okay, a baby is born alive. It survives abortion. Can you give me any reason why you would not want to protect the life of that child? Well, that's the decision between the mother and the doctor. Wait. You're talking about a baby struggling for life, laying there on the table, that survived abortion. And the decision as to whether the kid lives or dies is now the mother and the doctor. Read this on townhall.com. It's called Planned Parenthood Confirms Its Baby Killer Status. It's, you know, the mother and the patient. And one of the congressmen said, well, isn't the baby the patient then? But it gets worse. I quoted an article that was published. It was published in the Journal of Medical Ethics. A group of medical ethicists linked to Oxford University published this article saying parents should have every right to kill the baby after it's born, if they have a valid reason for it, if the child is disabled, or if the child's not disabled, but they recognize there's something, you know, that they don't want the child, they should have every right to do it. Oh, it is insanely sick. These folks, so-called medical ethicists, would have made Adolf Hitler's scientists and doctors proud. Read it, friends. You say, are you saying that this is the same thing as same-sex marriage? No, very different subject. However, it's shocking to see how the media is so pro-abortion and so pro-gay activist. Tells you that something fundamental has been lost in the very foundations of human society. And it's up to us, the people of God, to restore the meaning of marriage, to live it out, to model it, to restore the meaning of family, and to honor life together. All right. I want to ask you to stand with me when we go to a place like Italy and pour ourselves into this young generation. We're not doing this for offerings. We don't come back with funds for our ministry. Travel expense will get covered and things, but we're not fundraising for the radio broadcast here. So I want to ask you to partner with me and help us. We've made a tremendous difference on this trip. I fully believe that 10 years from now or 20 years from now, you'll be seeing the fruit of this conference and this trip and these messages by God's grace. I don't hesitate saying that for a second because I've been coming here since 87. It's my 21st time, and we've seen the fruit of the gospel by God's grace over these trips. Partner with me as you order your copy of the debate with Dr. James White, two DVDs. It'll ship in about 2 weeks, so we're taking pre-orders now, but we're paying the postage on the pre-orders. Call the order. When you do, if you can help us with an additional gift, a one-time gift, if you feel prompted to be a torchbearer because you believe in what we're doing and want to help us on the front lines here, here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore, and you can support us by going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking support. My bottom line today, you do not tamper with the foundations of human life and society without dastardly, dangerous consequences. Let's recover our sanity and recover the meaning of marriage.